Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Content warning before we begin. This episode features discussion of sexual assault. If you're currently in distress, please call 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732 or visit 1800respect.org.au for support.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Popcorn Podcast with Lee and Tim, where we're sitting down to interview writer-director Molly Manning Walker about her groundbreaking film, How to Have Sex. I'm Timmy Fland, movie buff.
And I'm Lee Livingstone, entertainment journalist.
And we love to talk all things movies.
We do. And in How to Have Sex, three friends take a euphoric post-exams trip to the Greek party resort of Malia, where they navigate sex, consent, and friendships on the vacation to end all vacations.
It's all about the holiday, I tell you. How to Have Sex is written and directed by Molly Manning Walker and stars Mia McKenna-Bruce, Lara Peake, Enver Lewis, Sam Bottomley, Sean Thomas and Laura Ambler.
Now, Molly Manning Walker is a cinematographer. You should check out her recent work on Scrapper, starring Harris Dickinson, and a writer and director from London. And How to Have Sex marks her debut feature film. The film has been making waves on the International Film Festival circuit, actually, and won the coveted Uncertain Regard at Cannes in 2023.
Deservedly so. Now, the inspiration for the film came to Walker while reminiscing with friends about a party holiday in Magaluf. It's a rite of passage, spring break or schoolies type vacation British teenagers let loose on, but deliberately it's tackier, sweatier, grimier and even more sexually uninhibited.
Walker hopes her film will spark conversation amongst teens especially about the memories of that exhilaration and the importance of friendships, but also of the moments that are too often cloaked in shame and silence. Let's take a listen.
I'm going in!
Hi, Molly. It's so great to meet you.
You too.
I'm so excited to talk to you about your, wow, like to find the words. I mean, that's my job to find the words to talk to you about your movie, but hopefully you can help me along. I just loved it. I have not been able to stop thinking about it for all the good reasons, all the right reasons that I think you want people to be constantly marinating in its messaging and its story, because it's not only so much fun to watch, but it's incredibly powerful as it asks your audience to confront very complex questions about consent and sex and also friendship. Why is this an important film for audiences to see?
Yeah, you know, I think we've got like a very out of date concept of consent, which is like really black and white, and really it should be about two people having a good time. And I think that's really not that much of a hard ask, you know, despite people thinking potentially it is. And yeah, you're right, the friendship, like I think there's so much to be said about young friendship helping each other out and like figuring these things out together in a joyful way. Yeah, I hope people take away from it that like we can help each other through these situations rather than dragging each other down, and to start talking about sex and better sex more, especially for women.
And this is a loaded question, but why is it so confronting to talk about consent and sex with each other?
You know, I think there's been a lot of shame around especially female pleasure, and I think that's really outdated. But I think it sort of goes into like why there's so much assault and why there's like such a like aggression towards. But yeah, I think there's so much shame around sex in general. And if we had more open conversations, then yeah, hopefully we'd get to talk about these experiences more.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Your film showcases a rite of passage for young people as they finish their GCSE exams. And they head off on a wild party holiday to get wasted and dance the night away. But the main focus, right? Dance and get wasted. What is your film saying about youth culture today? What is it highlighting?
You know, something that we really wanted to talk about for me is about not being anti-party, because I'm pro-party, you know. Some of the best times of my life have been in parties. So for me, it's more conversation about male aggression and the Andrew Tates of the world and how that's affected young men and how they think they should be acting.
And part of that rite of passage, you know, young people going out on holidays together, comes with that real pressure to have sexual experiences while on those holidays. Why is it like that? Where does that pressure come from, do you think? Is it just ingrained in our culture and we grow up and be like, if you're a virgin, you're less of a person? Like, because your film really highlights that sort of conversation and the pressure around having sex and that being the number one thing that you should take away from the holiday.
Yeah, I think the pressure comes from everywhere. You know, it comes from within friendship, which is like this status quo thing within girls, especially when we're growing up. It comes from young guys who also obviously have it within their friendships. And then it becomes like a battle within there. It comes from surroundings and environment and society. And, you know, when we were scouting these places, these clubbing holidays, there was like naked women on towels and naked women on lighters and naked women on, and this like idea that you have to be something, you know, or that's what you meant to do on holiday. It sort of was coming from all directions. It's really something that we try to show in the film as well.
Molly, you won the Uncertain Regard Award at Cannes earlier this year for your work on How to Have Sex, which for our listeners is an award that recognises young talent and to encourage innovative and daring works that reflect the diversity and creativity of world cinema. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What did winning that award mean to you?
It was a mad ride. It was such a blur, but yeah, it was great to win it. And we kind of already felt like we'd won because we had such a lovely Cannes experience with, we brought 35 of our crew and, you know, we really celebrated the film. We really celebrated putting the film out there. And so we had a really nice party and stuff. So to win the award on top was just like, yeah, it was super magical.
And, you know, it'll pave the way for some pretty amazing things for you in your career as well. Not only do you have an incredible movie and story to tell, but you also have some recognition to go with it as well. Now, I believe your first screening at MIFF has sold out, which is awesome.
Yeah, it was last night.
Oh, it was last night. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. How was that? How did the audience react to your film last night?
Yeah, good, I think. Yeah, it was a packed out screening and it was on the IMAX as well, which is always a bit scary. It's
just move like over Oppenheimer.
Yeah, huge screen. But no, we got a really nice reaction and great Q&A after. And it's been really special showing it like all around the world, you know, different cultural.
Yes.
Yeah, just getting reactions and yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, the different interpretations of what you're trying to say within those different cultural pockets. It's very true. Molly, talk to me about the focus groups you conducted with young people reading your script and offering you feedback during your process. How did that process influence your approach to the film? And did you make any like drastic changes off the back of it with some new information?
It wasn't super drastic, but the point of the workshops was that one of the funding bodies was like, oh, surely the conversation around consent has changed and like young people are way more, you know, they've got way more knowledge on it. So we went around the UK and we did these workshops where we sort of gave them an assault scene and very few of them recognised it as an assault, which was really scary. You know, there was conversations like, oh, but they slept together the night before, so surely it's fine. And we were just sort of like really blown away by sort of the lack of clarity around consent. And so that's when we kind of got full finance, to be honest. They were like, okay, you really need to make this film. But there was all sorts of stuff we took from them. Like I was like really watching them and just how they interact and how they get nervous. And there was one girl in particular who like play with her hairband or something, and that became a thing in the film. And I would never make a film again without doing them because they were just amazing.
I mean, it's a really disturbing reaction that you got, but it's also fuel to showcase why it's so important for these stories to be told and these movies to be seen, because of the lack of understanding around rolling consent, right? And what that means.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, your cast is exceptional in this movie. They are what makes your film so successful. There are obviously so many other layers, which hopefully I'll have time to talk to you about. But from cheesy chips to friends who get to airports 4 hours early, we all have them in our circles. And just the general joy of best mates pining together. How did you ensure that your cast connected to make these moments feel as authentic as possible?
We just really tried to build a calm, fun atmosphere on set. You know, it was really important to me that if we were going to talk about these subjects, we had a community feel to it. So we like played football every Sunday. We had barbecues. We had sing-alongs. Like the atmosphere was really great on set. It helped that we were on a Greek island, you know, and that we could swim before work.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not too shabby. But yeah, it was really like welfare and community was really part of the process. But they've just really got on, you know, from the get-go, and they're really super lovely, bubbly humans. And Mia will go in and make best friends with anyone, you know.
So right.
Kind of a, like, but they're all super great humans. But yeah.
So Mia sounds quite similar to a character of Tara then, who's just the life of the party, right? I want to talk about Mia McKenna-Bruce because she's so energetic, her character and her performance. She's the life of the party, but she also balances those darker experiences that her character endures and grapples with. It really shows her range as an actress. Were you just like cheering when you cast her?
I mean, she's a superstar, but really high hopes for her in the future. But when I saw her tape, I just knew straight away, like her eyes, she's so funny. She's so naturally funny and bubbly. But her eyes tell, so like you said, like there's so much going on behind sort of like closed doors. Mm. And yeah, so when she taped, I was just like, she's the one, which was crazy because it was really early in the process. And we were always imagining that role would take a long time to cast. It's obviously the like one of the harder roles to find. But yeah, it was, and then fitting in around her became more complicated because you want someone who, you know, everyone becomes a bit of a jigsaw piece within that.
I want to pull on a point you mentioned about Mia, and there's so much behind her eyes. Now, there's not a lot of silence in your film, but when it is used, it is so powerful. And I think it's the unspoken words between Badger and Tara on that balcony that are just so powerful. Like, I've actually got chills right now thinking about that scene. I mean, what's your approach when you're directing a scene like that with actors where there's not many words, but there's so much to evoke in the performance?
So I made this chart of silence in the film, and it's like there's like high bass and then there's just like these two drop-off moments of pure silence in the film. That's one of them. So it was really intentional that it was like really calm. But we actually just like let them, you know, set up the camera and no one speaks, and it's a really calm set, and we let them do the magic. And we're like, it's amazing when people do nothing how much is going on in their brain.
Right. We're so conditioned to just noise and like visual noise, audible noise. And I always, always love when films choose to be daring and just strip it all back, because that's when the vulnerability comes through. And that's when you learn so much about the story and the characters. In those moments, it's very tempting, I would imagine, with the medium of film to just throw stuff at you. I mean, you think of Euphoria and just how visceral that is. And that is an incredible series. But I don't know. I think that it could also benefit from stripping it back from time to time. And I think it would really show so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun thing to do, you know, because I also love stuff like Fast and Hectic. And then
right.
When you do pause, then you're like, also makes you take in everything you've sort of been through, because before that, it's just like, well, parties, blah, 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 you know, so much going on. So yeah, it's actually one of my favorite moments of a film as well. And the score that goes after that is my favorite bit of score. Not that anyone else has seen it, but you can appreciate it.
I absolutely can. Your soundtrack is extraordinary. I kind of wanted to keep talking about this point, that there are two significantly distinct parts in your film, and you feel it shift tonally, narratively, visually as well, audibly, as we've talked about it, and of course through the performance, you know, when Tara's walking down the empty main party street, it reminded me of, you know, a scene from 28 Days Later or something like that, where just everyone's gone, the zombie apocalypse, like what's happened? And because her whole life had changed. And so that visual reflection was captured, was really impactful. In order to get a shot like that, did you basically own the town? Like, how did you pull that off?
No, we unfortunately didn't own the town. There's like 500 people standing behind us on lock off. You actually can't get a lock off in Malia because there's only one road in the town.
So the town, and that's the road.
The town is built like a capital I. Like there's a road at the top, a road at the bottom, and then just the main road in Malia. It's like midday in September, so like we had to hold like loads of tourists.
Yeah, who were that's not a very busy stoked time.
Yeah,
they weren't so stoked.
Weren't very stoked about it. And also Mia has to give like a performance like that with all these people standing behind her, like watching her basically. So yeah, she did really, really well.
Well, I mean, you would assume it looks like a closed set, but it was anything but a closed set with all the hundreds of people around. Speaking of that, you worked with some 2,000 extras in your movie, and some was there one day where you had as many as 300?
Crush the outdoor party.
Yeah,
there were 300 extras that day, maybe slightly less, but yeah, we shot all the party scenes in the first 2 weeks, so we had 2,000 extras over the first 2 weeks, which was chaos.
That's ambitious. I mean, this is your first film, by the way. Just reminding you, you're mad.
Whose idea was that?
Yours. You wrote it too.
Terrible. Yeah, it was. There was a lot of people, but they also became part of the process. You know, they really loved the film, and they came back every day, or they became part of like cast. That's why they're all credited. Like, you know, because they just became such a big part of the film.
Molly, in wrapping up. Gee, I've loved talking to you about your brilliant movie. You have made such an impactful debut. Where to next for you?
I'm just trying to be a normal human, you know, fall in love, maybe go on holiday, something like that.
Nice. Nice. Well, I'm manifesting that for you in your future. Once you share your movie with more audiences around the world. Congratulations. And thanks so much for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure.
What's your name?
Tara.
I've not noticed it before, but you're proper beautiful.
You two are two of my best friends.
How to Have Sex is an extraordinary debut for Molly Manning Walker, and her ability to not only write a compelling, poignant and fun film, but also present it with such a striking visual language. It's so exciting to see emerging talent like this.
We can't wait to see what this filmmaker does next and just how many extras she will take with her on her next project. Maybe 5,000?
Why not? A sweeping war epic. Move over Ridley Scott, maybe. We think this film will speak to so many, not only looking back at your own core memories forged when partying and holidaying with friends, but the very important conversations we should all be having about sex and consent. It's so important.
And be sure to check out our interview with How to Have Sex star and BAFTA winning actor Mia McKenna-Bruce, wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. Now, How to Have Sex is in Australian cinemas from March 7.
We recommend that you go and check it out. It's really important viewing.
Friends, as always, thank you so much for listening.
And we'll catch you next time. Come and join in the conversation. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Popcorn Podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.